1-1 in the air to left field. Pearson on the run. Pearson on the track. Over the shoulder. Makes the grab. Tigers win. Tigers win. They defeat Tennessee in shutout fashion here in Omaha by a final of 5-0.
Chris Blair on the call from the LSU Sports Radio Network. LSU getting it done yesterday, staying alive up in Omaha, Nebraska, and we go there now. Charles Hanegraaff, the co-host of Live at Lunch over on 104.5 ESPN, joins us. Hanny, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Doing great.
Glad to have you on this morning, as opposed to on a flight to D.C. and then back to St. Louis and then back home again. I assume you're taking the same route home that you took up there.
I certainly hope not.
So walk us through last night, man. I mean, what a ride. What an unexpected performance by Nate Ackenhausen. Walk us through it.
You know, you have to get out of the loser's bracket, you have to have a performance that is out of the norm. And for Ackenhausen, I knew he was going to pitch last night. I didn't know he was going to start. I thought that getting three innings out of him would have been a really good outing. That, you know, right around his longest of the season was 3 2/3. I thought if they got three innings out of him as a starter, that would be a good outing. And he completely surpassed that. I think a couple things with him, you know, he missed a good chunk of the middle part of the season with an injury. Mm-hmm. When he came back, he was really good. I think having Alex Milazzo behind the plate, who's a fantastic defensive catcher, helped him out. You know, Milazzo probably framed half a dozen pitches or so that really helped him out. But the umpiring was better too, but that's a whole different story. And the wind is blowing in now, and it's supposed to blow in the rest of the week. You saw just like on that call, I know that call was when Riley Cooper was in the game, but fly balls to center, to either one of the power alleys, they're just going out there to die because the prevailing winds then make it very, very difficult to get a ball out of this park unless you hit it down the line the way Dylan Cruz did in the ninth inning last night. So I think all of those things helped. He was really composed. He didn't walk anybody. He did hit three batters. I thought he was really, really composed on the mound.
All things considered, LSU coming out of the loser's bracket, where they stand right now from a pitching perspective, they're actually in pretty decent shape right now. They've used five guys through three games. That's about as ideal as you can expect for the situation they're in.
Yes and no. You're right. That's the number of guys that they've used, and they've gotten some long performances. You know, Ty Floyd, it pitched really well. Skeens was great. You know, Thatcher Hurd pitched really well, although it was in a losing effort. The problem remains, though, that they're going to have to go to somebody today that hasn't had a whole lot of starting experience. If you listen to Jay Johnson, when he was asked in a postgame press conference by somebody who probably, you know, hasn't heard him say it before, we're not going to tell you who we're pitching, but we're just going to go with whoever we think the next best guy is, as long as he can go, and then the next best guy, and then the next best guy. Mm-hmm. If we use that as a guide, last night in the bullpen warming up was Blake Money and Gavin Guidry. Well, Blake Money's got two starts on the season, and Gavin Guidry's got one. Of course, Nate Ackenhausen didn't have any yesterday. Right. So it's gonna take a big effort from guys that, again, haven't had to go long and deep. Gavin Guidry's longest outing of the season is probably two innings. Money's is probably three or four. So if they can get one of those performances like Ackenhausen, then yeah, but it's going to have to be something out of the norm.
Where is Coleman in all this?
I think that Javon Coleman, you know, for whatever reason, is a little bit further down the pecking order than the other guys. Now watch him start today and make me look like an idiot, but they didn't pitch him in the regional. They didn't pitch him in the super regional. And unless I missed it, he hasn't even warmed up in Omaha. The last time he pitched was in the SEC tournament, and I think he threw something like 15 pitches. So I don't know if he's ailing a little bit or if they just have more confidence than the other guys. I would say that, you know, Money, Guidry, Griffin Herring, I think is going to have to factor in somewhere here if they're going to make it through the next 2 days. And then Coleman, you know, I thought he did well down the stretch, but you know, Coleman is still just about a little over a year removed from that Tommy John surgery, and they just may not think that they can get long performances out of him right now.
I don't know that they need a long performance, though. If he eats up two innings, that would be worthwhile.
Yeah, I think at some point he's going to have to do that. I just think that they're going in. I think they're going to go with the other guys first.
One guy we haven't mentioned, he tapered off greatly throughout the season, is Christian Little. Is he just out of the mix altogether?
I think he is. I think they'd go to him in a situation where the game was out of hand a little bit. His command just became too problematic. He didn't give up a lot of hits, but he just walked entirely too many people. And if you can't throw strikes, you can't send him out there. So I would say Little only in a situation where the game was out of hand.
Charles Hanegriff, our guest. He's the co-host of Live at Lunch. It's Hanny and Ott. Their coverage from Omaha brought to you by Rev Business. Charles, you mentioned the umpiring was a little bit better last night. Is there a way to predict from day to day, from game to game, help from inning to inning, what we can expect from Omaha as we move forward?
No.
Okay.
No. And I don't, I said this on the show a million times. I don't really like to, I don't really like to talk about the umpire and all that that much, because it's like being angry that it rained. What can you do about it? Nothing. They're not going to change umpires in the middle of the game.
Right.
You can't go out and argue balls and strikes unless you be, ejected from the game. And what good does that do you? So, you mentioned it because I thought in the second game here, it really influenced the outcome. And that was unfortunate. But, we could sit here and talk about it till we're blue in the face, and it's not going to change anything. So, no, I don't have any predictions on, how the umpiring is going to go.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of blaming the umpires when you lose. But that sixth inning specifically, when the bases load up on pitches that were strikes but called balls, when the margin of error is that small, it's easy to point the finger at the umpire. And that being said, he missed calls all night. So the sixth inning was egregious, but it wasn't on an island. In the meanwhile, moving forward, we got Wake Forest again, the same team that LSU lost 3-2 to the other day. What can we expect from a round two of Wake Forest?
I don't think Wake Forest has played their best baseball up here. They got by Stanford and LSU when Stanford and LSU, frankly, blew some chances. Stanford had a runner picked off of first base right before a double. They held a runner at third base with two out that was kind of inexplicable at the time. And then, Wake Forest got the one big hit. LSU at first and third and nobody out and didn't score. They make a great defensive play, and then LSU hits into a double play. So give them credit for making just enough plays. But in the two games, they certainly haven't been the juggernaut that they were in the regional and super regional. Now, that could all change today. They've got a ton of pitching left. I don't think that they're going to go back to Rhett Lauder today. I would actually be shocked there. But I think we'll see Seth Keener, who's got an ERA in the low twos and has got 90 strikeouts in 66 innings. And he got his feet wet here on Saturday. He threw an inning in a third in that Stanford game. So he's, got out to the mound and got comfortable. And, they're a much better offensive club than we've seen here so far. So they could explode at any moment. LSU is going to ride some momentum from last night. But this is still the number one team in the country that they're playing this afternoon.
We don't know starting pitching from LSU yet. When can we expect timeline-wise to find out?
Probably about an hour before the game. Yeah. They put lineups out about 60 minutes before the game, 60 to 90 minutes before the game. Just on a guess, Keener for Wake Forest and money for LSU, but that's just a guess.
Okay, you're leaning the same way I am. I think money for LSU as well. It's just it feels like that's the safest route to get you through the first third of the game.
I'm doing that based on, again, what Jay Johnson said in the post game, which is, hey, we got nine guys available. We'll pick the one we think is the best. Well, look at who was warming up last night. Mm-hmm. It was Money and Gavin Guidry. So I'm thinking one of those two guys. If Riley Cooper had started to struggle, that's who was coming in.
Right.
So that's who I have to assume that Jay Johnson thinks is his next best option. So since they didn't pitch last night, I figured one of those two will start today.
Charles Hanegriff, got him for about two more minutes. Hanny, got to ask you for a little historical perspective. Omaha is, at least from LSU's perspective, the place where legends are made, like Warren Morris, for example. If you could crystal ball this for me, who's the next Tiger you think plants their flag in Omaha as the makes themselves a part of Tiger lore?
There's a lot of choices, but I don't know that anybody has played better up here than Trey Morgan. You know, he's swinging a really hot bat. He's made some terrific defensive plays because he's a great defensive first baseman, and maybe the best defensive first baseman that LSU has seen.
Yep.
So maybe it's him. You know, he's had a terrific season. Cade Beloso, maybe. The guy who we didn't expect to be here. You know, he had the first RBI last night. He had three hits. So, somebody like that. But Morgan is playing really, really, really well right now. So that pin me down for one. I'll pick him.
I tell you what, Beloso, man, he's that dichotomy of pinnacle NCAA athlete and beer league softball player. He's the combination of the two. You got to love him. Last one before we get you out of here, Charles, and that is, should LSU survive tonight and make it till tomorrow, is Skeens back in the mix?
I think he is. That's 4 days rest. Yes, I think if these teams go to tomorrow, I think you'll see the aces with the season on the line. I think at that point, Wake Forest would go back to Rhett Lauder, and I think that LSU would go back to Paul Skeens, yes.
At that point, you would have to flip the script a little bit and give advantage to LSU. I'm hard-pressed to be convinced otherwise. In the meanwhile, he is Charles Hanegraaff, the co-host of Live at Lunch. You'll be where are y'all broadcasting from today?
The Ameristar Casino and Hotel, right across the river in Council Bluffs.
It is, you say Council Bluffs, Iowa, it makes it sound like you're so far away. It's less than a 5-minute drive from the casino to the stadium. Appreciate the time this morning.
All right, Brian, thank you.
Thank you.